Hello, and welcome to Star Wars Lore with Idiots, the show where one man tries to teach a bunch of idiots Star Wars lore without force-choking them. With that, let's turn it over to our lore master, Ranger J1999, and the buffoons, Rambam001, Karth, and Kashmir.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Star Wars Lore with Idiots. Glad to have you here as we start the new year 2023. We look forward to seeing how ridiculous the idiots will be this year. We ended 2022 on a sobering note, but I'm hopeful 2023 the idiots will shine. Maybe their knowledge is starting to expand. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to find out. I'm your lore master and host, Ranger J1999, welcoming you to another edition of our little video series, podcast series. Eventually, we will do podcasts. If you have not joined our Patreon, please do. It does support this content. Patreon will be linked in the description. If not, you can go to Patreon/RealitySkewedGamers. Pretty simple, one word. And you can become a Patreon for $5 a month or more. And if it's just for the lore series, you can support the channel in what we're doing with this. And if we get to $1,000, there's going to be a lot of things that happen. Not only do you get the benefits of being a VIP Patreon, but you also get input on the lore video series. You also, you know, with topics and stuff, you get the lore series early. And if we get to $1,000, then we'll start uploading this on Podbeam, Audible, iTunes, all that. But we got to hit the mark for the financial support to do those kind of things. So if we can get there, then we can start doing those kind of things. That being said, let's introduce the idiots and get into our topic for today, because we're going to be here a bit. We'll start with Rambam. Rambam, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on?
I know it's a little early in the day, but is anybody drinking today? I just poured a little bit of Glenlivet, just to, you know, because it's tradition here to drink a little bit while we're doing this. Are you doing anything like that, Ram, or is it too early for you?
Nah, it's too early. I got stuff I got to do today. So,
Karth, you're giggling. Is that not too early for you?
I mean, you know, it's just Irish coffee. That's all.
Yeah. Okay.
It's coffee.
It's coffee.
It's a breakfast drink.
Yeah,
I am.
Yeah.
Coffee with a kick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I like it. And then last but not least, bringing it all together, the man, the myth, the legend, Kashmir.
Hello, everyone. And I'm kind of doing the same as Karth over there. Just put a little Makers in my coffee.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I had to cut Kashmir off right before we started streaming. He started putting all these memes in there, and one had me cracking up. I was like, all right, butthole, you're don't put any more in. We got to record this. And yeah. Oh man,
I was pre-gaming.
You definitely were, man. And I'm going to use that image for this next video, so yeah, prepare to be laughing your asses off, because it had me giggling. All right, as is tradition, starting 2023, guys, we've covered a few topics already in the lore series. I don't know why I do this, but let's just go around. I always give these guys, they like doing this. I don't know why. I'm going to actually give them a quote today after we do this guessing game, and then see if they can guess it. But let's go around the corn, as Grani from Arshi would say, and see if they can get it right. Kashmir, we're going to start with you today. What do you think our topic for discussion today is going to be?
All right, I'm feeling good about this one.
Okay, all right.
Now mainly Arshi does a lot with gaming. So I'm thinking we are going to go with how to play Sabacc and maybe like the top five strategies to win.
That's an awful answer, but I like it, you know, because I didn't think about it. Yeah, that's actually not a bad. We could do an actual whole video on that. That's not the bad call.
That's something a long for the future. Video.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, dear Lordy. No, but no, that would be wrong, as is tradition. Okay, let's go to Karth, who piped in. Karth, what do you think today's is? So what kind of economy guess are you going to give me today?
I'm thinking that we're going to do an in-depth dive on the Jedi Council's stance on relationships and how they can dip and run, but they don't have to stay there for the kid. You know, they're promoting single mothers.
Okay, another awful answer. Not correct. Yeah. And I don't, and not unlike that other one, I don't think that'll be ever something we'll get into. Yeah. Deadbeat Jedi Fathers. That's just what a great video that would be.
Jerry!
You don't know me? Oh, God. And then finally, Ram, you cannot see anything related or having to do with Maze. I swear, Carthy, don't get that crap out of there. It's memeing me right now as we speak. It's just awful. God almighty. Just ridiculous. Okay. All right. Ram, what do you got for me, brother? Nothing related to Ram or anyone related to Maze. No Maze stuff, period. So give me an answer here. Your best guess.
Yeah. So, you know, I was thinking there's a, you know, it's a galaxy far, far away.
It is, yeah.
And a long, long time ago.
It is long ago, yeah.
And there's a lot of different planets in that galaxy.
There is, yeah.
Right? And so, I mean, we need to take a deep dive into each of those planets. And I felt like the best one to take a dive into was Harun Kal, right? Because there's a lot of force sensitives there.
Sure.
And, you know, it's a toxic oceanic place where the people have to live in the mountains. And so, you know, I just thought it would be a really good start.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah. You know, they made a whole lot of force sensitives there. And, you know, a lot of those force sensitives ended up being on the Jedi Head Council.
I mean, it's an awful answer and it's wrong, but it's actually it could be an interesting topic if we go into each of the planets, right? That's not a bad way to go. That's much
down
the future.
Yeah, you know, this one had to do with Mace Windu, but hey.
Yeah, that's wrong. That's wrong. Okay. Okay, so you're all wrong. I award you no points, and I hate you all. All right. Well, it's tradition. I let the idiots try to guess, and it's never right. All right. One day you guys are going to guess something right, and I'm going to be utterly shocked. I'm going to think I'm in, like Bizarro World or something. No, I'm going to read you the quote and then let's see if you guys can figure it out. All right. You guys ready for the quote?
Ready.
All right.
Do it.
Peace is a lie. There is only passion. Through passion, I gain strength. Through strength, I gain power. Through power, I gain victory. Through victory, my chains are broken. The force shall set me free. All right. Your quote, clue. Put 30 seconds on the board. Who would like to guess what the topic for today is?
Oh, I know this.
Okay, Karth, go.
I know this.
Okay, Karth.
It is the Qui-Gon Jinn bro code.
No. No, that's awful. Oh, God. Holy shit, that's wrong. Oh,
isn't that? No, actually, I think I know.
I know you guys know this. You're just trolling my ass now.
No. Like, legitimately, I think, wasn't this what Anakin said to Padme when he asked her about bondage?
Okay, just wow.
Now that could be
my chains are broken, you know, like
yeah, she sucks at tying knots. I get it. 100%.
I don't think Anakin would ever be into that shit because he can't even handle sand. Ugh, God. Kaz, you wanna just give your mentally damaged answer and I'll tell you what it is. And you guys know what it is. You're trolling my ass. You guys have to know what that is. I hate you so much right now. All right, Kaz, what do you got for me?
I still think it's going to be how to play Sabacc.
Okay, no, wrong. Just okay. I'm sorry, I asked. Okay. All diarrhea answers. No, it's the Sith, and that is the Sith code. Today's topic is going to be about the Sith. We're going to get into the history of the Sith, their origins, and this is going to be a multi-part series here on this one because there is so much goddamn lore on the Sith, and you have to cover it because all the characters tie in together. So
there's only two of them. How could there be so much?
Oh, there's quite a few in the Legends. Oh, boy. Yeah. Are you in for a rude awakening there? Carter?
Rule of two. There's only two.
That's a small part of it.
It can't be a long story.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a part of it, and we'll see how it comes to become the rule of two, but that's toward the tail end. We got to get through all the beginning shit and where all this comes from and everything. So yeah, today like is
starting with the tail end.
Yeah, no, we're not. No, holy Christ! I mean, when I first decided, because we asked the patrons and stuff, and this is one of the things that they're interested in learning is about the Sith. I'm like, sure. And then I forgot, you know, I know most of this, but I forgot, you know what? There's so much shit. And I'm only going to cover the main points like I usually do, just in general terms. We are going to cover some characters, just the main points about them, but they can each get their own videos, because that's how much the history of the Sith evolves. All right, so that being said, Kashmir, what do you know about the Sith? If you had to give me a short, condensed answer about the Sith, what do you know? What do you, when you hear the word Sith, what do you think?
Just an idiot version of it. They are the bad guys of the Force users.
They are. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. Good answer. Good answer. Let's check, on the board. The number three. Yeah, very good. They are. Yeah, number three.
Whoa.
Top answer still on the board.
Whoa.
That is a good answer, though. That is a good answer. Karth, what do you think?
They're not the bad guys. They're just the other side of the coin.
Okay, the misunderstood.
From a certain point of view,
the emo
yeah.
kids.
Yeah, from a certain point of view, yeah, that's true. All right, Ram, throw your two cents in here.
Look, they're like the high school bullies, right? Like Carl said, they're misunderstood, right? They have a different point of view that everybody else seems to think is bad, but they think is right. And you can't really fault them for it. You know, they just have a different perspective on things.
Yeah, to dominate and to control and conquer. Yeah.
And kill. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
They're not hurting anybody.
Yeah, actually, they hurt quite a lot of folks. Yeah. A lot of people. Oh, boy. And we're going to get into that right now with the history. Let me drink a little bit more here. All right. So we're going to get into, we're going to take breaks because I'm going to let the idiots, of course, when we do this, get to ask questions or interject, and they can do that at any time. So if you guys have a question while I'm doing this, they know that they can jump in. That being said, we're going to get through the history of the Sith. I'm going to break this down into multiple parts. I don't know how many parts this is going to be, but we're going to go for this first part all the way up through right before events that lead into the Old Republic timeline, like with Darth Revan and stuff. That's going to get being mainly vitiate. We'll get into that. And then from that, the next part will be from there, probably through the Rule of Two, Sidious, but I don't know how long my notes are going to be on that. And then we'll get into the philosophy, the teachings of the Sith and stuff like that. And their kind of their mindset, which will be interesting because there's a lot of stuff on that part as well. So this could be a three-parter, I'm thinking. Maybe two. We'll see how it goes. Now, the origins of the Sith species. Now, there's actually a Sith species. I mean, it originated on Korriban or Moriban, I have to say that. And it goes back to about 100,000 BBY, if you can believe that the Sith, the species goes back to 100,000 BBY. They evolved in their society and culture, you guessed it, around the dark side of the Force. They were Force sensitive, but they, unlike the Jedi we talked about earlier, that kind of got into more of the balance of the Force, and some other cultures that got into the light side. Of course, we know about the Rakata, then they were definitely dark side. They evolved around developing their society into cults, into believing of the dark side, and that's kind of where they came from. A lot of stuff in the dark side dealing with rituals, you know, Sith sorcery, illusion, you know, they were knowing that, and I will come back later in this. And nothing really happens. For 72,000 years, there's the Sith on Moriban kind of developed their culture and everything like that. Then, you know, they have a king and everything's going along fine. And then, of course, we always bring them up, and they're always a part of this. We get the Rakata. And the Rakata were trying to do something a little different. They saw that these guys were dark side, and they were dark side too. And so the Rakata tried to do a little different thing. And they were, the Sith at the time were ruled by their king, the Sith king, and his title was Sith Arai. And he was the most powerful Sith, and he was the king. And the Rakata decided, well, let's try using some diplomacy here. And they met up with the Sith, and Rakata acted all friendly and started teaching them their king. And their king at their time was King Addas, A-D-A-S, of the Sith. And a couple things that the Rakata were kind of teaching them was how to make datacrons, and also introduce the Sith to space travel, you know, to be able to travel the stars. Of course, we all know the Rakata are full of shit, and this is all bullshit, because the Rakata, as we all know, have one thing and one thing in mind, and that is to dominate, take over, grab Force users, because we know their technology, especially the dark side, is powered by the dark side. And they looked at the Sith as a buffet and said, well, this will be a nice little smorgasbord for us to do. Didn't go to plan, though, because this leads to a war. Attis saw through their bullshit, and it was kind of both them trying to use each other for what they could gain. But the Rakata underestimated the Sith, and Attis especially. He united his people, and first they kicked their ass right out of Korriban. Then he did a crazy thing where he stole a bunch of their ships, hijacked them, and then with the Armada, they went throughout the system that the Rakata had conquered and basically kicked their ass out of the Sith system. And this led to the Sith spreading for the first time from their home world of Korriban to colonizing planets like Zois, Tund, and of course Malachor IV. Now, Attis helps them defeat the Rakata, but right at the end of this conflict, after they get rid of the right at the end fight where they defeat the Rakata, Attis is killed, and this leaves a huge power vacuum. And instead of the Sith growing their empire and stuff, now they've taken over all these worlds and stuff, and they all become their own separate entities. This leads to endless civil war that lasts for tens of thousands of years. So this leads for the Sith Empire basically constant infighting, constant civil war. No one ever takes charge. It ends up for a lot of their planets being destroyed, their cities being destroyed, and basically causes the Sith to regress. So they're not as technologically advanced or as powerful as they could have been. And the fighting is so bad that Korriban, because of all the dark side shit that they're using, and they use a lot of dark side stuff, kind of becomes unlivable almost. It becomes the world that we kind of know, and it actually becomes a tomb world for the Sith. And the Sith abandoned Korriban and make their capital, their main planet, on Zois. They have colonization on the other planets because of the war, but the Sith are never the same afterwards. And that's going to lead us to the next thing that I've been wanting to talk about for a while. But the Sith species itself is in disarray. It's had thousands of years of civil war. No one's taken charge. The planets are getting destroyed. Korriban does get basically so corrupted by the dark side, it becomes a tomb world, and the Sith are pretty vulnerable at this point to people taking them over. So we're going to take a pause here like we always do. Let's go around the corn to the idiots. Rambam, any questions so far?
Negative.
Shocking. Arth, Cash?
I got a legitimate question.
Okay. You say that and I get scared.
I did not know the Sith were their own species. Were they like, how did they look? Were they like human?
Humanoid? Yeah, they're humanoid. Have you seen the Old Republic game and you see Sith pure blood? That's kind of what they look like. There will be some crossbreeding here soon. And the Sith, but they still consider themselves Sith purebloods, and we'll talk about it. But yeah, if you've played the Old Republic, you see what a Sith looks like: the red skin, the tentacles coming from the face, all that stuff. Yeah, they've got, that's what they look like. And if you want to know what they look like, their cash, then our boy Karth just put a picture of that in the Swoggle channel.
So otherwise, they look corny.
They look what?
Corny.
Oh, I thought you said corny. I'm like, what do you mean they look corny? Corny. Yeah, so that's what they look like. Yellow eyes. They have the humanoid hair. They look humanoid, but that's kind of, if that helps you out there, Cash, does that give you a better understanding what they look like?
Yeah. I'm just waiting now to go more in depth in the crossbreeding section of this. So I'm going to shut up.
No, it's a good question.
He wants to know where he can sign up for that process.
It's like, how do I become a part of this? How can I get more Sith to look like me? Now we get into something I've mentioned before on previous episodes, the Hundred Years War. We talked about previously how the Jedi in their story, we covered them. The Jedi, we talked about the first great schism or the Force War, and that's when the dark side first made its prevalence known. They were defeated. The Jedi formed the new Jedi Order, and the Jedi Order basically evolves to where it is to around where we're at the time, about 7,000. This is around 7,000 BBY, and again, as is prevalent, as the Jedi started going more into the light side, there were still here and there some people that wanted to get back to the roots of the dark side, but it never really amounted to anything. But for 18,000 years, you know, the Jedi evolved. And around 7,000 BBY, we have what's known as the Next Great Schism. And it's called the Hundred Years War because the war lasted for 100 years. Around this time, a group of Jedi left the Order to follow the dark side. They wanted the main reason they did this is because they wanted alternative uses of the Force, and they wanted to learn the dark side, like their ancestors, the Jedi, had done. However, the dark side, when you just focus in on the dark side and not balance, corrupts, and this is what happens to them. They learned through the dark side that they could twist life to serve them, and they could also create new life. Which they do with monstrosities we'll get into. Of course, the Jedi did not like this. And again, this starts leading to a split, and eventually leads to small conflicts that leads to the second great schism. And this they started calling these new Jedi Dark Jedi. That's where the term Dark Jedi comes from. And this leads to the Hundred Years War. And so for 100 years, these different factions warred throughout the Republic. Using the dark side, the new Dark Jedi, using Sith alchemy and other things, dark side powers, altered soldiers, beasts, and made monstrosities. Things like you've heard of, like the Leviathans. And for 100 years, this conflict went on, and it was brutal. But eventually, the Republic and the Jedi would eventually win, and at the Battle of Korbos, and because of, you know, how Sith goes, they're always lusting after power, the infighting, this will be a theme with the Sith, led to their downfall. The survivors were captured, and they were rounded up, put into a ship, and as punishment, they were exiled into the unknown regions. And the unknown regions at this time were vastly greater than they were today. And so the Jedi, you know, being the Jedi, the Republic, they just said, all right, they confiscated all their shit, put them in a ship, and then just launched them randomly into space. Unfortunately for the Republic, the place that the Sith ended up, these Dark Jedi, was in the Sith space. the exiles, and they were led by their leaders, Ajunte Paul, Zozan, Remus, Dreda, and Thorsa Sin. When they arrived to the Sith space, they arrived at Zoist, and they overwhelmed the Sith, who were dark side users, but these guys were way more powerful than the Sith, right? The Sith had civilization at this time, still used the dark side, still did their rituals, which impressed the Dark Jedi, but they were no match for the dark side Jedi that were there. The Jedi kind of laughed because they tried to use illusions and stuff to scare these Dark Jedi, and the Dark Jedi were like, really? And basically dominated him. And the Sith were so impressed by the power of the dark side within these exiles, they were proclaimed Gen Jedi, or Dark Jedi, in the Sith language. And of course, these guys, Sith, always crave power. They formed and tricked the second in command of the Sith at the time. They overthrew the king of the Sith, that was the king, and the control of the Sith Empire. The main leader who was in charge of, who really led the charge on this, was Ajunte Pell, I'm sorry. And he started to remake the Sith into a Sith Empire and militarize it and get everything organized. And he made the other Dark Jedi lords of the Sith. And they would use their knowledge of space travel and their advanced technology and their advanced knowledge of the Force to, again, go through the Sith Empire, retake the planets that they had before, and expand the Empire like it was. Now, Korriban was still officially a tomb world, and from this time forward, all these Sith lords would be buried with their treasure, trinkets, you know, items that they gained during their life, kind of like, you know, Egyptians did with their burials, and they would be a massive amount of dark side energy, and they would make these tombs. And this would become important in the future when people would go to the dark world, the tomb world, and their spirits would live on in these items and tombs. Remember that. The power structure worked that there was a council, and they would fight for the top spot, and the most cunning and powerful would always gain the top title of Lord of the Sith.
throughout history. We will definitely talk about this guy. The Sith continued to expand their empire under like leaders like Tulak Horde, one of my favorite Sith of all time, but we're not going to discuss him today. They would keep expanding until we get to the legendary Lord Marka Ragnos, and he would be the last great leader of the Golden Age of the Sith. So that's how that all transpires. Now I'm terrified because, again, we're going to open it up for questions, comments, or anything. Anybody have any questions, comments, or anything like that?
So in short, the Sith get exiled.
The Dark Jedi do, yeah.
The Dark Jedi get exiled.
Yes.
And they go from basically being removed of all their things to stumbling into society that had all their things.
Yeah.
So basically, it's just like, well, the gods have arrived amongst a ready civilization that is already practicing what we would like them to do. So let us just usurp control here and plan our revenge.
Yep.
Now, I think it's really interesting with the Sith that they take. I mean, granted, you know, it's how we built that world as people of this age, but the Sith culture takes on a very much a Egyptian kind of a society.
It so really it's
kind
does. Of fun to,
it's kind of cool to see that distinction and how they end up building that up. It's not quite the same, but it's similar.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to see how they did the tombs and all the artifacts and the relics, and then they kind of really put an emphasis on the importance of those things. And you know, it's still kind of crazy how even though that they have this usurping of power constantly, they still revere like the greats.
Yes.
Even though they would have, if they were there or practiced, they would have tried to kill them at some point for their position. So it's still kind of interesting to see how there's still a line of respect that's in there, even though they fight each other all the time.
Yeah, so the Sith, the Tomb World was used as a pilgrimage for the strongest Sith to go there and to speak to these great spirits and stuff. It's kind of like a passage kind of thing. One of the most sought after things that you had to really work to get was the holocrons that these guys would create. Their items, like their lightsabers or swords or armor or anything like that, was imbued with their spirit. And you had to basically be careful because these spirits could take you over. And there's examples of that, and we'll get into one of them here when we get to one of our other topics. But it was a very might makes right. And we talk about the breeding program, these original humans and aliens that came over and became Sith, that leads to the Sith purebloods. They interbreed and marry and have children with these Sith, and those purebloods, they would look at who was the strongest in the dark side of the Force, and those are the ones that would be groomed for power. Not necessarily would mean they would gain power, but that's how it would kind of work. But it was really, you know, whoever was the strongest in the Force, the dark side of the Force, was the ones that would rise through the ranks the most. But they believed in, you know, two strong dark side users had a child. Well, they should have the dark side in them. And, you know, they were groomed to be nothing but the dark side. And the Sith really developed their sorcery at this time. We talked about the Golden Age of the Sith. The very few lightsabers existed. They're only the top Sith had lightsabers, and most didn't prefer them. They usually preferred Sith swords. Sith swords we talked about in the previous lightsaber episode. Sith swords were created through Sith alchemy and Sith sorcery. And it was imbued with enough dark side energy in the way it was made that it could block a lightsaber. That's how powerful it was. And it was so sharp it could cut through anything. So that's some of the stuff that they work on. The dark side rituals that they developed. The ability to, you know, exist in the afterlife. Unlike Jedi who became one with the Force, they did not. They were tied to their artifacts, and the only way they could escape that is if they were either resurrected to a new body, which is part of the ritual that they eventually came up with, or they would overtake someone, right? Someone comes along, they're weak, and they would take over their body, and then they could basically wander the worlds again as a new Sith and stuff. So you had to be careful when you went to Korriban. That was one of the threats that you had to go through. But yeah, they developed, they kept expanding. The Sith Empire grew to multiple worlds and multiple planets and multiple systems. And they expanded for quite a while. And then we get into, is there any other questions or anything about that? Good point there, Karth.
Well, it sounds like they're very, like, almost like an Egyptian type of society, or they do a lot of Egyptian things, and their holocrons were pyramids, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they were. The Jedi holocrons typically were multi-shaped ones. Yeah, but a lot of the Sith holocrons were triangles. There's a lot of similarities, not exact one for one, but yeah, there's a lot of similarities in kind of the culture and beliefs. I mean, these dark Jedi were pretty much worshipped as gods, you know, because of what they could do. Dark side of them. I mean, you have a society like the Sith that has regressed and is not primitive, but you know, when you see somebody at that level, like magic. If you see something, you know what it is, and you're, you know, at that stage, you're like, oh, they're gods, you know. So that's kind of what happened.
Well, it's like their understanding of when the Dark Jedi came to them, their understanding of the Force was primitive in comparison. You know, it's like they were learning how to make illusions.
Yeah.
Where these Dark Jedi were like, you know,
they could force choke, lift things, yeah, throw people, you know, they could do all kinds of stuff. Yeah,
lightning. I mean, the power just seemed, you know, there was no scale for the power of that magnitude for them to even compare things to.
Yeah.
So like, they're just like, so I mean, it's common in a lot of cultures that when you see something that you can't explain, that they just become a deity. You know, it's a lot of things that are like that. So it's really interesting that's kind of how it formed.
Yeah. And they expanded their technology and they started, you know, they were very technologically advanced, given the thousands of years that the Sith Empire expanded. And it did for a couple thousand years. The Sith Empire grew. It was technologically advanced. It became the empire that it was. Now we get to the Great Hyperspace War, the first Great Hyperspace War. And this is begins with the fall of one of the greatest Sith empires, kings, leaders, lords of the Sith. And that was the death of Marka Ragnos. Now, Marka Ragnos ruled for 120 years and had really expanded the Sith Empire and united the Sith in a way that had not been seen before. And this is at the tail end of the Golden Age of the Sith. Now, upon his death, there were two suitors that had gained followers and power to vie for the throne, his two subordinates. One of them was Naga Sadow and Ludo Kresh. Now, during his funeral, they both participated in the funeral. These two hated each other. And I mean hated each other. And they were definitely vying for the top spot as Lord of the Sith. And they wanted to be the top Sith and rule the council and again rule the empire. So during his funeral procession on Korriban, words were spoken by both sides and those two, and they're getting ready to fight. They just said, you know what? F this, let's throw down right here and right now. However, when they did that, the duel was stopped by the spirit of Ragnos, who counseled the two to pick their fights carefully. And he warned them that the balance of the Sith Empire was on the line. The two stopped fighting for a moment to listen to Ragnos. They finished the funeral, but as soon as the funeral was over, they prepared, as soon as the rites, they buried him and everything there. I mean, they're like, okay, well, we heard him. Let's duel. Let's fight it out. They're going to go at it to see who was going to be the top dog. But as fate is always the will of the Force, if you want to call it, they are interrupted again by the arrival of two explorers from the Galactic Republic by the name of Gav and Jori Daragon. And this would set off a chain of events that would lead to the Great Hyperspace War. We need to take a step back. The Republic at this time didn't even know about the Sith Empire. They had no idea about the Sith or the Sith Empire, and they'd kind of forgotten about the Dark Jedi. At this point, the Republic had expanded itself. It was a peaceful, more world adjoined. It was still ruled in Coruscant by the Empress Teta. Coruscant was not known as Coruscant at the time. I don't remember its name, but it had a different name and it was ruled by the Empress. But the Republic was starting to take shape and take hold, right? So at this time, this is what's going on. But had never heard of the Sith, don't know anything about the Sith. And these two brother and sister explorers, they were looking for new hyperspace lanes. They were looking to see if they could come across any new civilizations, set up trade routes, those kind of things. And they just happened to pick the unknown region of space as the Galactic Republic knew it as a Sith Empire. They came there in peace saying, hey guys, what's going on? And the Sith were like, no, and put them into custody immediately and imprisoned them. Now this caused the two Sith to set aside their duel again, and the council got together, and there was two sides, and they both disagreed, one for Saddam, one for Kresh, and they disagreed on what to do with them. Kresh, thinking that they were prelude to an invasion, wanted to execute them immediately, and Saddam looked at them as an opportunity, as tools for expansion and conquering of the Galactic Republic. He wanted to go to war. Not that Kresh was against war, but he was like, he was more cautious. Like, okay, these people just showed up. They're talking about the Republic. We're getting this information. I don't like it. Let's kill them and let's get ready for an invasion. And Saddam saw it the other way. Saddam, they argued back and forth. No sides could come to terms on it with the council. And then, of course, Saddam, being the treacherous butthole that he is, he has to plot where he used Jory and his sister, get their name confused. Jory, and who's the other one? Aragorn. God, I always get that name. Oh, jeez. He used the siblings in a plot to get the Sith to go to war. So what he did is he took weapons from them, assassinated a Sith Lord. He allowed them, he made it look like they escaped, which they didn't. He imprisoned the sister, or he kept his sister on the ship, and then he turned the brother to the dark side. And he would be one of the people, the generals that would lead the armies into the Republic. So he made it look like the one assassinated one of the Sith and escaped. And then on top of that, he planted evidence against Kresh to make it look like Kresh was a part of it, that he is the one that set this up. And so Kresh, falling for the trap, goes to kick Saddam's ass, but it was an ambush, and he gets his fleet, his initial forces butchered, and he escapes and has to go lick his wounds. And after all this transpires, the Sith Council unanimously names Saddam the new Lord of the Sith. Saddam organizes the Sith, gets them into military fighting formation. He sends the sister back to try to warn the Republic as kind of a prelude to what's about to come, because he's using them as the brother as a spy to... of course, the old Republic doesn't believe him. You know, I found these Sith and blah, 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 and they're going to come invade. And the Galactic Republic is like, yeah, we don't believe you. You're full of shit. You know, what the hell are you talking about? And that's when they attacked. Because the only one that believed the story was Empress Teta. And she had got her forces on Coruscant organized. That wasn't enough. The Sith came in full force. And one of the things that the Sith did that was pretty smart on the initial, because their initial attacks went very well. The Sith attacked in multiple pronged strategy, attacking multiple worlds at once, and they overwhelmed the Republic forces. However, their strategy evolved around using Sith illusion. So when they would invade, they would send in their warriors, and they were led by their Dark Lords. And they would use illusion, you know, dark side powers to make it seem like their forces were tripled or quadrupled what they had. And initially, it completely threw off the Republic. But the Jedi were involved fighting the Sith, and they figured it out. And so the Sith initial gains were pushed back. And then Empress Teta and her forces got involved and started kicking the shit out of the Sith and started pushing them back. You guys with me so far on everything that's going on here? Any questions? All right, we're going to move on. I know, it's a little convoluted.
It's incredibly interesting that they wanted to go to, like, galactic war. Like, a spar between two Sith Lords for who gets to be in charge leads to a galactic war. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like arguing with your brother of who gets the last piece of pizza and then starting a world war. It just seems so ludicrous, like how it escalated so rapidly from No, it's my turn to just like, and the galaxy's at war once again.
Well, Sadao was just one of those guys that he just craved power so much. And he thought that it would be, he overestimated his forces and he underestimated the Galactic Republic, right? He thought because he had delusions of grandeur, right? That he was so strong that, and he was using that to secure his power. If he could take over the parts of the Galactic Republic, right? Then he would, not only would he expand the Sith Empire, but he would get further cement himself as the Dark Lord of the Sith. Right.
Yeah. The main guy. and that's the folly of using tactics against the enemy you've always fought against a tactic against an enemy you've never fought.
Right.
You know, that's always fun to see throughout history is, you know, you use tactics against people you fight all the time and it works, and then you use tactics against people you've never fought before and you just get absolutely steamrolled.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah. So during the war, during the conflict, Sadao, with his main flagship, was basically planted in front of a giant star. He sent his forces out. They started getting pushed back until they get back to where he's at, and it's Teta and her forces coming at him. Sadao supernovas the star so his forces can escape, and they do. They head back to Korriban, go limping in, but they're still a strong force. When they get to Korriban, they hyperspace in. Guess who's waiting for him? Crash! Crash was waiting for them to come back because he had taken the calculated strategy if they lost that he could defeat Sadao and then he could become the new Sith, right? Get rid of his rival and then unite the Sith because he still believed the Republic was going to invade. He was right. They are going to invade, but not because of they had planned an invasion, because the Sith pissed them off. You don't poke the bear and have the bear not come chase your ass. So they have their fight. Sadao, being the coward that he is, has one of his ships ram into to Crush's ship, and they blow up, and Crush is killed. The fight ensues, but Sadao comes out on top. So they're licking their wounds. They win the war. They win this battle, and Sadao's thinking, "All right, the battle against Republic, I'll get another chance, and I defeated Crush. Now I really cemented my place." They forgot about old Empress Teta. She ain't having it. Teta was one of those people that she's got a scent and she's not stopping. She followed their ass all the way there and she was on the hunt, and she arrived just as right after that battle concludes and they're not prepared. And they go in there and just beat the crap out of the Sith. Now, Sadao, being the piece of shit that he is, coward, flees with his warriors. And we'll get into that in a second. They defeat the forces initially there, Empress Teta, but the war drags on a little bit longer. The Sith resists, but they eventually lose. And the Galactic Republic goes through and just the main homeworlds they kick the shit out of and defeat the Sith. And the Sith once more, the great age of the Sith is over. Now, Sadao, and the reason we have to talk about him, is he escapes to Yavin 4. And he starts building a new kind of, he takes his Masasi warriors with him. And they construct the temples that you see in episode 4. Those are all the temples that Sadao created. Those are Sith temples. And the reason he created this was because he believed that the Sith would rise again one day. And he used these temples as, one, to honor, because he was a narcissist, him. And two, you know, he went into stasis and went to sleep, because he was waiting for the next ruler of the Sith, and the next one he believed could lead the Sith Empire into the future. And so the Masasi warriors were his guardians. That's where the Masasi Wars, and they come way far into the future, like after the Battle of Yavin, after the Return of the Jedi. There's stories about this temple, and it has a lot of back and forth, but that's where Sadao ends up. The Sith are defeated, and the Republic goes into its golden age, as they have just defeated the Sith in the first great hyperspace war, and they get peace. And this is the end of the Sith, as the Sith Empire was formerly constructed. And it would have a major impact on the galaxy. It would have a major impact on the galaxy moving forward. And that was a great hyperspace war. Now, there's a lot of Jedi and heroes and stuff like that. We're not going to get into those. I mentioned the main characters. Again, we're not going to get into the minutiae details, because there's a lot of minutiae details when we talk about these wars and stories. There's a lot of battles and story arcs that happen, but we're not getting into that today. We mainly cover the main points that happened with the Sith. Then we're going to take a break for another chance for questions until we get to our last subject of the day. So what questions do you guys have? Karth has been asking some good questions. Ram, Kashmir, you guys are awfully quiet. Are you just soaking in the information, or is it going in one ear out the other?
Crickets.
Oh my god.
No, I'm learning. I'm learning some good things. Things that I did not know before. Things that I've heard of the 100-year war. I heard of a hyperspace war, but never really delved into it. So I'm just sitting back and enjoying.
All right, Ram, are you eating lunch? What are you doing?
You know, it would have been helpful if I had not been on mute. I was asking questions like. These guys, okay, Ranger's just ignoring me. Okay, I must have pissed him off earlier with the mace comment.
No, you were muted.
Yeah. No, it's
what are your questions? You can fire back at someone.
Take in.
Yeah, it's a lot. That's to take in. And this is just early parts of the Sith history. We there is so much to this. That's why I'm breaking this up into different sections, because they all tie in together, and you can't skip like the next person. Like, we're going to get into Fred and Nad.
Fred and Nad,
right?
Yeah.
You have to discuss him because he ties into XR Kun and he ties into the rest of the Sith that come afterwards, right? So you can't skip this stuff. It's not like, you know, I can just go over. You have to cover it because it ties in together, right? So, but what question did you have, Ram, before we move on?
No, I wasn't really questions. It was just more statements. Like, there's so much rich history with, I mean, the Sith, and obviously we covered the Jedi and whatnot.
We haven't covered the Jedi yet. We just covered the Jedi. We're going to get into the Jedi Order. That's going to be its own series.
Right.
And their histories, too, which ties in with this. Obviously, you know, a lot of this ties in with the Sith at this point moving forward. But yeah.
But I do like the views. I've always liked the views of the Sith more so than the Jedi, in the sense of like the Jedi are just very dogmatic in their views, and just, you know, there's only one way. It's, you know, it's only a Jedi deals in absolutes almost type thing. Whereas the Sith are just kind of, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want to do and nobody's going to stop me, and I'm craving power and whatnot. But I felt like they understood the Force in.
Well, they're both deeper sense. Yeah, unlike the Jedi, which believed in balance, right? You had to have balance. Bendo. The Sith are the extreme on the right side, and the Jedi, you know, and Dark Jedi, Dark Side practitioners are too far to the dark side. And the Jedi are right. They are extremists, too. They are too far to the light. Good, right? But they're too into the light. Again, I always bring up that scene in Rebels where Kanan meets the Bendo. You know, that giant creature, and he says, you are like screaming in the light side of the Force, you know, and awful, you know, it's giving him a headache, and kind of questions Kanan about the Force. Like, you know, well, he says, oh, I thought you're sensing this Sith holocron. It's like, it's just an object. What you do with it in the Force, you know, kind of thing, you know, and really throws Kanan off. And Kanan's like, huh, I never thought of it like that, you know, so yeah.
I always like the more gray Jedi, the gray Jedi and the kind of, you know, neutral Sith almost that are just,
yeah, well, we'll get into that.
We'll cover those guys
eventually too.
Yeah.
The thing I kind of like about how the Sith operate is a lot more agency to just trial and error things. Like, one thing we're not going to get into here, but a lot of Sith died in Sith alchemy experiments and Sith, you know, experiments in general, trying to figure out things. And they passed that on to their apprentice. They took up their notes and they push along, where those would be things that the Jedi would just straight up abstain from. They wouldn't be a part of it. So like, you wonder why the Sith are always have that like edge, and it's more of their personalities that the Jedi have to manipulate to win against them, is because the Sith, there is no limit to what you want to gain knowledge on. You know, if you can handle it, you can do it. Where the Jedi are, you know, they're almost a barrier holding that back, because they don't want people to get, you know, kind of like when Ezra starts using the Sith holocron in Rebels, you know, he starts gaining that power really quickly, but it starts corrupting him at the same time.
Yes.
And so it's like the Jedi were like always so cautious of that being the outcome that they always held back people from exposure, which then when they did get exposed later, they either do the hard, you know, 180 or they fall to it because it's, you know, well, this path was just so much easier. If I just had this power, I could have done so many more things.
Well, yeah. They both fail to understand that the most important thing about the one thing about the Force, if you read through all the lore and stuff, the people that were the most powerful were the ones that had the one aspect, and that was control, right?
Yeah.
Control was the most important thing, and understanding emotions are fine, right? But the Jedi tried to get away from emotions and try to limit them, and that's not control. That's just, you know, suppression. But the Sith were just the opposite. They were covetous, and they were always, you know, the infighting has always destroyed the Sith. Yeah. Like their passion, they wouldn't control their passion. They leave their passion set them free, but if you're not controlling those emotions, it's going to lead you into bad things. Yeah. You know,
unbridled emotions is not helpful as much as calm composure. I mean, yeah. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting that how the Sith Empire kind of comes around to doing their things and being what they are is, you know, it's a lot of their philosophies that drive them to end up being the powerhouse that they end up being and the threat they end up being for so long. And really their only downfall ends up being the fact that they infight so much that they cripple their forces they get invaded.
Lust for power, man. You know, lust for power. And that's what leads to the rule of two, but we'll get to that later. So let's talk about the next person that's really important that we have to discuss. And this will be our last subject for today for this video. Again, I don't want to take these videos, make it too long, but we sat here and covered the Sith. It's going to be about 5 hours of just content. So we're going to get into Freedan Non. So about 600 years after the Great Hyperspace War and the defeat of the Sith, a very talented young Jedi Padawan named Freedan Non was impressing all of his masters with his connection to the Force and his eagerness to find harmony. I mean, he had an eagerness to be balanced. That was one of his things that he was really seeking knowledge on. But because of how much praise and stuff that he was thinking, it made him cocky. He grew arrogant and cocky from this. And when it came time for the Jedi Knight trials, he was passed over. And this pissed him off. And he became resentful and conflicted. Now, wanting to become a Jedi Knight, he sought the knowledge from, he went and found Jedi Master Mata Tremaine to show him what he needed to do to become a Jedi Knight. So she tested him. But he didn't understand this was a test. So what she did was that she was testing his patience, one of the key aspects of becoming a Jedi Knight. She started ignoring him and caused him to lose his temper until he grew just bloodlusted. And then she said when he was fully bloodlusted, as he was walking away, because he was like, okay, you're stupid. I don't want to do this. Starts walking away. He's fuming. He's like, okay, fight me. And so they duel. And doing the duel, she's very defensive, just keeps him from winning and stuff. And until his anger kept rising until it consumed him. Then she, in the middle of the fight, she just deactivated her saber. But Nad, realizing too late what she was doing, struck her down. He realized at the very moment that it was a test and he had failed it. And this infuriated him more because he's like, what the hell is this nonsense? And he, you know, because of what the Jedi had passed him over, he hated the Jedi now. And the dark side started taking over him. He believed it was a ploy by the Jedi to remove him from the order. So he said, you know, F them. He left and he started seeking and craving knowledge because he wanted to do one thing and one thing only, and that's to get revenge for the Jedi. So where did this lead him? He's fallen to the dark side, so he travels to the now destroyed Sith Empire, and he comes across word Ashus Rey, one of the first planets in the Sith Empire. And lo and behold, through the dark side, he discovers, yes, that the Sith Holocrons are a big deal moving forward in these stories. And it was none other than the original King Addis that he found the holocron on. Remember, the Rakata had taught the Sith a long time ago to make holocrons. And he found none other than the original Sith King that defeated the Rakata, King Addis. He spent time learning from it, and he went deeper into the Sith Empire as his dark side powers and knowledge strength grew. And it led him to Yavin 4.
What a surprise. The dark side pulled him to Yavin 4. And then now in stasis, sleeping in Nagasadal. Remember, Nagal had gone to the Yavin 4, and now it's 600 years later. Sadal wakes to the presence of Nod, and through him, he saw the power and the ability that he believed to restore the Sith Empire and agreed to train him, which he did. He, and like all Sith, he trained for a long time, and when Nod believed that he was strong enough to take over, he slew Sadal and took the title as the new Lord of the Sith. And so he leaves Yavin 4 with all this new Sith knowledge, and he's ready to start making his mark in the Republic. You guys with me so far?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
From there, he travels to Onderon. Not Alderaan, but Onderon. He arrived at the planet, and it was a planet that was very, you know, forested, kind of like Endor. It had one major city, the capital, and when he arrived, he wowed the people with his dark side powers and force magic, and quote. He took control, because he was super powerful, proclaimed himself the new king and ruler, and would start the line of Onderon monarchy with his dark side presence. And by presence, I'll get in that in a second. And he fires a bunch of kids and stuff, and that becomes the ruling family of this planet. And they start, you know, their thing. He does die, but what he does is he creates this great Sith temple underneath the capital, and puts a tomb there under the capital, and it's called Izz. And it became a huge nexus for the dark side. And at this time, when he was ruling, he got rid of all the dissidents, corrupted everybody. They become dark side practitioners, and his followers all become the cult, and they do dark side stuff there. That leads to conflict with the people that don't want to be a part of that. He murders a bunch of them as he takes over, and they become the beast riders of Onderon, and this leads to conflict with them all the time. So the monarchy is always fighting these guys, and it leads to other stuff. Fast forward, we get to King Amlan and his queen, Amined, and they came into the power of the throne. And at this time, wanted to see who was stronger than the dark side. He started training both of them because he trained all the monarchy, but he was looking to resurrect. And he thought that these two might be the vessel that he could use for his resurrection. So he pitted them against each other and stuff, and started training the dark side. Unfortunately for him, Amon, who was very strong on the dark side, lost control of the dark side. And because of this, the dark side took over control of him in his body, kind of just corrupted and destroyed his body, where he had to be in an exoskeleton to do anything. At that point, the queen takes over and she becomes the ruler. He's still the ruler by name, but he's kind of lurking in the background with Nod, but the queen's the one that takes control. The queen at this point is like, well, I've got power. What do I need you two assholes for? And so she goes away from the dark side and focuses more on diplomacy and diplomatic stuff and being a head of state. And she abandons those two to the tomb. Now, this pisses off Nod, and, you know, he can't use Omen, but just as a tool. And so he comes with a plan to cause fear into the queen. So he warns her that the rebels that are still on this planet, that if she, you know, he has like some kind of vision, and if she doesn't use his teaching, that they would basically tries to scare her through fear to come back to him so he can manipulate her to use her as his vessel. This backfires tremendously, because what does she do? She calls in the Jedi. Hey, help. I've got problems here. I need the Jedi. And the Jedi Order rise on Onderon. And this leads to a whole bunch of stuff and characters that we are going to get into in the next episode, because this leads into Quellic Deldroma. This leads into Nomi Sumrider. This leads into Exar Kun. And that's another powerful Sith war, because this is going to lead us into the second great hyperspace war. But to cover that, we got to cover their story. So in a nutshell, from the finishing up Nod, we'll get more in the details of what happens at the end with these guys. All three of them die. The queen dies. Nod is defeated. And so is the king.
and they all meet their demise through this conflict that arises from Onderon. And they're sent to a tomb world where they're imprisoned. And that leads us into the next chapter, which we'll cover on the next episode of The Sith. And that gets into Exar Kun, Collecto Droma, the next great second great hyperspace war. And that leads into Vitiate, that leads into Darth Revan. And then that's going to lead us jumping into the next saga, which is the Brotherhood of Darkness and Darth Bane, which leads to the. So that's going to be our next subject. But in a nutshell, Nod's defeated. His spirit lives on, and he will come back again. But his spirit and those two knuckleheads are basically sent to a tomb world where they are imprisoned. Jedi win. They think they win. They don't really, because, as always, some Jedi wants to know about the dark side by the name of Exar Kun and Del Droma, and they become new lords of the Sith, and we'll get into that as well. You're going to see through a lot of these. A lot of Jedi starting to get a theme that want to learn about the dark side but don't have the tools to learn about it, fall to the dark side and become lords of the Sith. It's going to be a main theme here. And that's where we're going to end today's stream. This is the first part of the saga that is the history of the Sith. And the next one, we'll get to the rest of the history, and we'll get into the philosophies, teachings of the Sith, the rule of two, and some other things in about the dark side and the Sith history and their characters. So that being said, I know I threw a lot of stuff at you guys, idiots. Let's go to you, Kashmir, first. What are your thoughts and or questions and or comments?
No, you went over a lot. I've definitely learned a lot today. I mean, I just hope next week when you ask what the topic is, you choose me first. This way I can get it right.
Yes, right. Okay. Christ in heaven. All right. Rambam?
I'm definitely interested to talk more in depth about specific Sith, you know, Exar Kun, Naga Sadow, Darth Bane, all these guys are, you know, growing up while playing KOTOR and reading the now Legends novels and whatnot. Those are significant names in terms of the Sith, and they've got a very rich history.
Yeah,
for something that's completely made up, like, you know, it's cool to read about it.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of this is Legends material. Some of it is canon, but it's sparse in between. But a lot of this stuff is all Legends. The Sith, you know, if you look at the actual canon stuff, not a lot of stuff from the early Sith and stuff. It's you have to look at the Legends material. I pulled this stuff from Wikipedia, and I've got the Jedi Sith sourcebook behind me, and some other things that I pulled together to, you know, come up with what the main points. Now, we haven't gone to the characters. Like, we didn't go into depth on each of the Sith characters, which we'll eventually do in the future content. But yeah, you have to mention these names. Like, when we get to the next part, we're not really going to talk about Darth Revan because you already did a video on him. We are going to get into depth about Vitiate because he's a big key factor. After Exar Kun, it's going to be Darth Revan and Vitiate. And then after then, we jump a couple thousand years into the Brotherhood of Darkness and Darth Bane's saga. And then we get into Palpatine. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff there. Karth, any thoughts, questions, anything like that?
I mean, the thing that I find interesting about the history of the Sith is that they are almost the most resilient faction of Star Wars, because so many times they are driven to near extinction and then come back. Yeah. And part of it is like kind of how we saw with Frieda Nod, is how he basically just comes into a already established culture, and just through his force and prowess and everything like that, he's able to just take over and name himself king, which, you mean, you when you're that powerful versus somebody who's not inclined with the force, it makes a degree of sense. And so it's kind of interesting how, you know, the early tales of the Sith reflect the later experience of, like, the rebellion. It's a single spark of whatever you want it to be that can start a fire going in any direction. And so it's kind of interesting that, you know, because so many times the Jedi were always held back from exterminating something because, well, you know, that's not us, that's the cause. And then, you know, 100 years, 1,000 years later, you know, they've got a problem on their doorstep.
Yep.
Because somebody's got an axe to grind versus you or somebody in your past that represented that faction. So it's very interesting to get a large picture of the Sith as their whole. Is like, yeah, we're moving very quickly through the timeline, but you can kind of see through each thing how these things get rekindled and restarted and redo their thing. And it's very interesting to see how it all plays out long term. So
yeah, and you have to talk about these stories and these characters because it has an influence of where the Sith end up, right? Why am I covering these characters and their stories? One, because the characters are all interlinked together. Like, you know, they each one leads to the next one, you know, through knowledge and things of that nature. And it leads to where the Sith end up in with to get to Palpatine and Vader, the last Sith. You have to cover where they came from. How did their philosophy over time change? What happened? What were the rise and falls? What were the events? What were the characters? What were their strategies and things? And you kind of see the Sith, the biggest thing is the lust for power, the will to dominate, to conquer, you know, no holds bar kind of attitude. In certain aspects is a strength, but in certain aspects it always leads to their downfall. But like a cockroach, they just keep coming back.
Yeah.
You know, so I love this. The Sith is one of my favorite in Star Wars, my favorite faction, just because of the rich lore and history. And don't get me wrong, I like the Jedi's full of great lore and history too, and we're going to cover them eventually, probably cover them next. But yeah, the Sith are pretty amazing. So any final thoughts, stuff, guys, as I wrap this up? Okay. Well, thank you for joining us today on this episode of Star Wars Lore with Idiots. Again, if you like this series and you want to see this become a weekly series, become a Patreon. If you get to $1,000 on Patreon, I will do a weekly series on this. We will pick up the pace on this. We will start putting this as a podcast on iTunes and Audible and Podbeam. But if I'm going to commit the time and energy to do all those things, we have to be financially set to do that. So if you like this kind of series, please support us there. And, you know, this will be uploaded on YouTube. You know, leave comments about the topics or anything. Again, I'm not trying to be perfect with the lore. I'm just trying to just get the general sense of stuff. If I get something wrong, I don't care. We're just here. I'm just trying to teach some general stuff here to the idiots. So with that, we're going to wrap this one up. So on behalf of myself and the idiots, have a great rest of your day. And we will see you when we see you. Peace out.